have your Bibles this morning, I want to speak about a word, security. A lot is to do today in our society with security. We have security in this building. We have a security team. Why? Because there's always a threat, it seems like. Well, maybe not for our church, but how many of you have heard somebody came in and sat down and shot up the church? Well, we're just trying to do our due diligence to protect from that. Oh, by the way, the pastor gets it first usually. So, I've already purposed in my heart, somebody comes to shoot up, but I'm going to get it. So I'm gonna charge them, but I'm going to get it. But, you know, the result of that is heaven. How do you worry about that? Isn't that pretty cool? Get a chance to go to heaven? Yeah, I'm not interested in my ticket being punched today. But the idea is that, you know, we need security. We need to watch out, people to watch out for us. Our country needs security. We need our military. The military has allowed us to be a country. Security is important. Security of financial propriety for all of us. Every one of us wants security. A woman's number one need, according to most of the psychologists, is security. A safe place. It is important that all of us understand that security is a necessary thing in all of our lives. I mean, there are people today that are at home because they're trying to stay secure. I mean, we're wearing masks for security reasons. We're trying to be distanced for security reasons. It's important, and you'll notice, and what I want you to understand today is that when you come into our school, I mean, all the different things that we've done to try to make the children secure and safe. I mean, we went and bought thousands of dollars of plexiglass and hung them from the ceiling, reinforced the ceiling tiles, put in the ceiling grids with plexiglass, and we bought face shields for all the students, and we've bought EMS spray machines where you come in when you leave, we can spray the buildings, and somebody comes in every morning early, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, and sprays the entire building down. To make sure, for one reason, security. So people are secure and comfortable. We want you to be secure when you come into this church. But I want you to understand something. Security is not in plexiglass. Security is not in a job. Security is not in a doctor. Security is not in a hospital. Security is not in a lot of money in the bank. And guys, if you need to change something out, let me know. It's okay. I don't know what it is. Sometimes we get shorts and microphones, and we'll switch it out. If it becomes a problem, just let me know. I'll take a different mic. But security is for all of us in this room. Everybody in this room needs security. I don't know. Is that me? Put on the pulpit mic. Let me take this off. Put on the pulpit mic. It's important that all of us in this room have security. Security allows us to feel safe. And you'll notice, if you would take your Bible, turn to Psalm 33, and notice me if you would, in verse number 16. Says, there's no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Notice this. And he says that the horse is a vain thing for safety. Now, they used to have horses, and if you were on the... Well, I'll just let him fix that thing. Safety, many times if you can get on a horse, you can get away. Safety, if you're on a horse and you got a spear, you got a sword, you are a great advantage. So they would feel like if I'm in the cavalry, I'm safe. I'm comfortable with that. But the Lord is trying to get us to understand safety is not of an animal. Safety is not when you and I look at our bank account. Safety is not in a strong military. Don't get me wrong, that's important, but safety is of the Lord. And I want you to understand three areas today that all of us want to be safe at. All of us have to work at being safe at. Now, notice number one, if you would, safety is the security of heaven. Everybody in this room needs to be secure in heaven. Know that you're on your way to have a comfort level that it's all settled. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this verse, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13. I want you to see it. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Notice with me if you would. In whom he also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you believed, after that you were, in whom after also you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So everybody in this room, you need to be sealed by the Spirit of God, and you're secure. And notice he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. If you know anything about purchasing a piece of property, well, there is earnest money you put down. That's the promise that you're going to pay the rest in the near future. Well, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit into your heart, and that's my promise that I'm coming to get you and take you to heaven. That's your assurance that you've got heaven is your own. Heaven is your home. And so you and I in this room, we've got to make secure our heavenly home. How do you do that? Well, the thief on the cross, he's hanging there with Jesus Christ, and he's been cursing him, and all of a sudden it turns dark, and he realizes something is different about this one on the cross. And he turns to him while the other one is cursing Jesus. He turns to him and he says, Lord, would you remember me? Lord, would you forgive me of my sin? Could I go to heaven? And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's never too late to secure heaven for your own heart, your own soul. And so everybody in this room, the security of heaven is something everybody in this room has got to have. I don't know how unsaved people live. I don't know how they exist. If I laid my head down on my pillow and I lay there and I wondered, am I going to heaven tonight? If I die, if I have a heart attack, am I going to heaven? If I go to work in the morning and have an accident, am I going to heaven? The idea of a footstep from hell is terrifying to me. Luke 16, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, may he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I want no part of that. And yet the Bible says that that man was wealthy and didn't need to secure his soul. Everyone in this room needs to secure your soul today. And the only way you can do it is if you can't get a horse fast enough to take you to heaven. You can't buy enough money. You can't earn and make enough money to get yourself to heaven. You've got to come to Jesus Christ and him alone. Security is in a person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. All of us got to remember that. I'll wear my mask, but security is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to social distance, but security is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pay my bills and I'm going to try to do my best to take care of my family, but security is in Jesus Christ. He is the one that provides safety for all of us. But you cannot get to heaven unless you come to him and say, Lord Jesus, it's me. Would you come into my heart and would you save me? I need you as my Savior. The Philippian jailer did that. Paul, when he was Saul, did that. You've got people in all throughout Scripture that trusted Christ. Nicodemus did that. Zacchaeus did that. You've got all kinds of people, Old Testament people the same way. Naaman, the leper, they all come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, it's me. I don't deserve to go to heaven. Would you forgive me of my sin? Now, will you notice what happens when you say that? Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Speaking about security of the soul and security for heaven. Notice John chapter 5, verse 24. You might want to underline this verse. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you're hearing his word this morning is a reading, and believeth on him that sent me. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Have you told him, Lord, I believe in you. I know you can take me to heaven. Will you forgive me of my sin? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice what he says. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, permanent, everlasting life. Now, if you have something now and it's everlasting life, it's permanent. Does that make sense to you? That's not rocket science. Everlasting life is a gift of God and it's permanent because it's everlasting. If it was taken away from you, it wouldn't have been everlasting. I've got it today. I've got everlasting life in my heart. I didn't earn it. It's not because I'm a pastor. It was a gift from God to me. But it was because I asked him for it. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I do want to go to heaven, and I do want you to forgive me of my sin. I'm not proud of what I've done. Would you forgive me? And Jesus Christ stepped in and said, I'm going to forgive you of your sins and give you the gift of eternal life. If you'd take your Bible and turn to Romans, keep your finger in John, turn to Romans, if you would. I want you to notice this verse, chapter 6. Notice Romans chapter 6. Notice, if you would, verse number 23. Famous verse. For the wages of sin is death. That's the alternative. That's the payment for what you deserve and I deserve. The payment for our sin is death. But here it is. The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ paid for it. So everybody in this room can be secure in heaven. You can. It's as though you're already there. You can have security of heaven and security of soul right now, this moment. Because he said, if you believe on me, you have everlasting life. It is a gift of God. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 6 and notice a very simple verse. Verse 47. John 6, 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I wonder why he has to always say verily, verily, because it's too good to be true. But he said, truthfully, truthfully, honestly, honestly. Hey, get this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's a gift. It's permanent. It lasts forever. It cannot be taken away. And you say, but pastor, you don't have any idea what I've done. If I came to the Lord, he'd just say, look, you've done too many things, or you know, that you've done some egregious things that I could never forgive. If you look at verse 37 of the same chapter, all that the Father hath given me come to me, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will what? No wise cast out. He said, I'll save every one of you that come to me. I'll not turn anyone away. Isn't it wonderful? That's the reason I became a pastor almost 50 years ago, is because I was excited to tell people a story that never changes. And no one can say that's not for me. It's for everybody I've ever met. Tall, short, big, thin, heavy, black, white, green, yellow, smart, rich, poor. It's for everybody. Today, are you secure in heaven? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Folks, today could be the greatest day of your life. If you don't know that, settle it today. It's between you and Jesus Christ. Security of heaven is in a person, nobody else. Jesus Christ. Now, once you notice, not only that, but security of home. We have wrecked our homes in America so much so, with our covetousness, with our tempers, with our selfishness. And you know, the Bible says that you and I are to acknowledge the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I want you to see this verse. Notice this. Deuteronomy 6. Security of home. And by the way, you as a husband and wife, or father and a mother here, you're the ones that help provide this. Now, security of home is in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. But you and I have to do our part. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, Deuteronomy 6, 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's the duty, the number one duty of every Christian in this room. If you have the security of heaven, you're a saint of God at that point. The day you get saved, you become a saint of the Lord. We may not act like saints, look like saints, be like saints, but we're still a saint of God. I may not act always like a pitman. I may not look always like a pitman, but I am one because I was born as a pitman. And you were born as a Christian, as a saint of God the day you trusted Christ as Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. So you have the security of heaven, and now you have the security that you're a saint of God. Do you live like it? Notice he says, in your home, the first thing I want you to do is love me. I want you to come to me and say, Lord, I'm not all I ought to be, but I want to love you more and more and more. Now, the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you'll notice he says in verse number 6, so he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. So security of the home starts when the saints of God say, Lord, I'm going to take your word and use it in my home. I'm going to teach my children to tell the truth. Hey, where does it say, where's the law that says you got to tell the truth? The Lord said a lie was wrong. Otherwise, you get a little white lie all the time because who says that's wrong? You see, right and wrong is determined by the words of God. There's security in the home. Son, you always tell the truth because God said to. Thou shalt not lie. The Bible says God in Titus chapter 1, who does not lie. So we want to be like our Heavenly Father. So security in the home starts with these principles that you and I learn to live by. And too many parents are not living by the principles of God. And so the home is insecure. The children don't have that security of heart. And husbands and wives don't have that love for each other, because if you love the Lord, and the Bible says, then you're going to obey my commands if you love me. And it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You're going to have a sweet home. Because the Lord Jesus forgives us every time we say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you have to forgive your mate every time they say they're sorry. You keep a sweet home. Confession is important. It's critical, but forgiveness is important. The security of the home is based upon the word of God. You notice he says, these days when I teach these commandments to you, he said, shall be in thine heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach your children diligently to be honest. Teach them diligently to work hard, get up. How many of you got children? Don't raise your hand. But when their alarm goes off or when it's time to get up, you have to go over and you try to roust them out of bed. You got to get them out of bed. You've got to teach them. It's time to get up and do and serve the Lord. It's time to get up and go to school. It's time to get up and go to work. We had a staff member in our church years ago that when they got up, they set their alarm 1 hour early. And every 5 minutes, the alarm went off and they'd hit the snooze button for 1 hour because they didn't want to get out of bed. And they said, oh, and they kind of drag into work, you know. And I said, well, you know, good to see you this morning. Yeah, okay, I'm glad to be here. And you said, you're so tired. Well, you know, it's hard for me to get up. You know, a lot of that's training and teaching. Look, we've only got 70 years, 70 in most parts, for us to serve the Lord. Look, you're laying up treasure in heaven, or you're not. If you want to have security in the home, then you got to make your home a secure place. Put the walls of protection of the words of God in your home. Notice what he says in verse 7. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. There's the bedtime story right there. I remember my mother used to take a book, a big red book, and open it up. I think I still have it. You'd open it up, and she'd read a story about some great person in the Bible, and I'd hear about it, and she'd tell me about the principles of it. You've got to be honest. You've got to be truthful. You don't lose your temper. You don't this. You don't that. You love people. You forgive people. And she taught me these principles from this book, and it made my home secure. Do you have security in your home? Now, my home became insecure later, and I was insecure. I remember when my parents split up and all the turmoil that went on, I remember coming to church in turmoil. Did I really belong at church? Was I good enough to go to church? Because my home was all messed up. I remember that feeling. And you know what? It was when I went back to the Word of God and I realized that church is always for me because I'm a saint. I got security of the home when I married Susan, my wife, and we said, let's abide by these principles. And there was always security in our home. I trusted her. She trusted me. The Bible says the heart in Proverbs 31:1 of a righteous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. There needs to be security in the home. If it's not, you can help fix it. You need to get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to provide security in my home. We don't talk negative things. We don't talk about if we don't have money. Whenever Susan and I didn't have an awful lot, we didn't tell Jeremy about it. I mean, I remember one time we got down to where we had, my grandmother was a canner, lived out in the country, and she would can green beans and all kinds of stuff. And they'd live off that all winter long. They didn't go to the grocery store and buy any vegetables. They didn't go to the grocery store and buy cans of anything. They had their own chickens. They were self-sufficient. And I can remember, she said, son, whenever you go, I was her grandson. I was going to college. Susan and I had gotten married. And she said, here, take some of this food stuff. And I said, okay. I took it. And we both lost our jobs. And there was no money. And we got down to $50 in the bank. And I'm saying, Lord, what are we going to do? And she and I were praying about things. And I remember going to the little pantry that we had in our apartment. And there was a jar of pickles and a jar of peanuts. And I said, well, I guess it's pickles and peanuts today. And so we sat down at the table. We had pickles and peanuts. And we prayed and said, Lord, this is up to you. And then went to the mailbox and there was money in it. You see, security is of the Lord. You do what is right, and the Lord says, I will take care of you. Look down, if you would, in verse number 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee good, great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. In other words, you're not the one that fills your house with good things. God is. Now you say, well, I'm the one who went to work. Yeah, and whose air did you breathe? And what set of lungs did you use? The ones God gave to you as a free gift. Nothing you and I have did we technically earn and get of our own free will. It was all a gift of God according to his promise that if you honor me, if you teach your children right and you do what is right and you work hard and you're diligent and you keep me first, he said, I will fill up your house. Notice what he says. Houses, verse 11, full of all good things which thou fillest not. You see, well, there's a point where you and I do our part and we say, Lord, I've done everything that I can do. And the Lord says, I got this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Too many times we're trying to take care of our own homes. All we have to do is honor the Lord, obey the Lord, do what he asks us to do, love him, and he makes our home secure. You love each other. Folks, if you don't love your husband, you don't love your wife, get on your knees down here at this altar and say, Lord, help me. Help me to learn to love them again. It's a requirement for security of the home. It's God's design. Does anybody know who made the first home? Does anybody know who designed home, family, home? Anybody know? It was God in the Garden of Eden. He said, I made man. It's not good that he's alone. So he made Eve and says, I want you two to have children and multiply the world. He said, I want you to have a home that's happy. And he said, when you have homes that is filled with all good things that you didn't provide, he says, remember me. Today, a home can be secure because the husband and wife do the right things. They love the Lord. The happiest times of my life as a child were going to and from church when we would sing together as a family of three. And we sang songs. Oh, how I love Jesus. Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. We would sing songs for 45 minutes to church. We drove 45 minutes to church. I can still remember that this day. Windows open, 88 Oldsmobile. No air conditioning. Dallas, Texas. 5 million degrees. I didn't know it was that hot. We were singing, having a good time. You know why? There was security in my home. I remember that same thing going to Oklahoma. We're going on vacation. Now, if you live in Texas, going to Oklahoma is not a vacation, but I guess it was for us. My grandparents were there. So we get in the car, and I remember we stopped by and got an ice cream cone. And I was about 4 years old, and I was so excited. It was 1,000,000 degrees, and the windows were down. 88 Oldsmobile, we're going through, and I had my ice cream cone, and it was starting to drip. And I said, oh, my, it's going to drip. I better blow that drip off. And I stuck my ice cream cone out the window. It blew that drip off for sure. And it blew drips all over the back of the window and all in the back seat, all over the place. And my mom grabbed that and pulled it back. What are you doing? I'm blowing that drip off. I was, you know, but it was wonderful, the home that I had. You can make mistakes and be forgiven. I remember my father talking about how wonderful the Lord was, how good the Lord was, how heaven was. I remember laying in the back above the seat where the back window went down, laying there looking up at the clouds and the stars and the sun and the day and the stars at night, saying, Lord, I can't wait to see you one of these days. They helped build in my heart a security that God loves me and knows me. And so I was able to be saved early in life. Do you have security in your home? Do you have security with your husband or your wife? Susan gave me perfect security by her love for me. Today, no one can stop you from providing security in your home if you do your part and let the Lord do his part. Security of heaven, security of home, and then finally, security of heart. Notice, if you would, in the passage. Look at Psalm 33. Notice what he says here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. Notice verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Do you have security of heart? Do you have peace in your heart? Is there a settledness in your heart? Many a person has had to go to alcohol. Many a person has had to go to drugs. Many a person has gone to immorality. Many a person has gone to all these fixes of the world because they don't have peace in their soul. There's turmoil in their heart. Can I encourage you to just turn to the Lord? Peace of heart is from the Lord. The Lord gives peace. When you and I learn, I'm not in control of anything that he is, and so I'm going to trust him to take care of my heart. I'm going to trust him. Lord, I can't handle everything. Lord, life is coming at me too fast, but Lord, you know. And I want you to understand this. When Susan was dying in the hospital, we saw in that period of time 44 different doctors. Your care can't be right with 44 different doctors. You put 44 doctors in a room, I promise you, you're not going to get them to agree on much of anything except an aspirin is probably good for a small headache. And so this one would change that, and this one would change that, and Susan would come to me, and she'd say, honey, you just take care of it. And she'd be out, and she was trusting me to make sure all these doctors did the right thing. Some of the greatest pressure I ever had in my life. And you know what I had to do? I said, Lord, I can't get these guys to do what's right. So I found me a place, and I got down and I said, Lord, I need you. I need the peace of my heart to do what's good for my wife. Lord, please. And peace of my heart came. I learned that peace does not come from a doctor. Peace does not come from a hospital. Peace of heart comes from him. And the only way you can get peace of heart is when you learn to take your burdens and problems to him. Come unto me, all of you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you security. Notice, if you would, verse chapter 34, Psalm 34. Look in verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones. Not a one of them is broken. Notice, if you would, verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him should be desolate. If you come to the Lord Jesus this morning, say, Lord Jesus, I have no idea what to do. I'll trust you. I was shopping with Susan one day, which we did a lot. And we were in the Christian bookstore, and I picked up a book and just started reading through it. And I read a little story about a missionary. And he was a missionary that, you know, missionaries, when they get in certain positions, they have no defense. All they can do is just trust the Lord. And so I've been in some scary situations in different countries where, you know, it was out of my control. But the peace of heart never has to be out of your control. Especially if you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I can't fix my surroundings, but I can trust you. And know he loves you and cares for you more than anything else in this world. But you have to believe him and trust him. And the missionary had to go to town, had to get medicines, sort of a medical missionary, and ride his motorcycle back. But he had to stay one night in the woods, too far from his village. And so he'd ride his motorcycle in, get the medicines, ride his motorcycle back out, spend the night, find a place, spend the night out underneath the trees, get up the next morning and go back to his village. And there were some men, and I've forgotten the number, 12 or 13 men that had watched him, saw what he had, saw that he'd gotten medicines, drugs, and one of them, they had a guy watching, and he told them, and they followed him. And they followed him out into the area where he was. He parked his motorcycle, got out, and went to sleep. Woke up. And he noticed that there were people all around him, guns and knives. Give us your drugs. And then he noticed they kind of took a step back and they left. He later saw one of those people in that group and he said, y'all were 12 or 13 of you. You surrounded me. I couldn't get to my motorcycle. Y'all had weapons. I had nothing. Keep in mind, I had nothing. Why did you not kill me and take my meds? Well, didn't you see you had more guards than we did? What are you talking about? I was alone. No, we started counting. And there were more guards around you than us. And we decided it wasn't worth it. And we left. The Bible does teach that we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. And you and I may not see it, but God is always watching for you. Elisha, his servant, went out, saw the mountains were filled with soldiers. He comes into Elisha and said, how are we going to make it out of this? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the heavens filled, mountains filled with angels. Oh, today, I want you to understand, you can only have peace of heart when you understand that God has you in the palm of his hand. Last verse, John 10, we'll close. John 10, notice with me if you would. Verse 27, John 10, 27. My dad quoted this verse more than any other verse I ever heard him say. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. There's a key. They follow me. Now I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You are in the hand of God, and He has you, and there's no reason for you to fear in your heart. The Bible teaches, fear is not of the Lord, fear is of man. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Today, do you have peace of heart? Do you have security of heart? Everybody in this room, in the pandemic days, we all need the Lord, but you need the Lord personally. It's in a person. You need the security of heaven in your heart. I know I'm going to heaven. You need security in your home for your children's sake, for your sake, that you can get up in the morning and feel like you can make a difference for Christ, and you need security of heart when you're all alone and you don't realize it and God is there. Today, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord because He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Today, are you secure in Christ? Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist, come play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, folks, don't leave this morning with a weight on your heart. Don't leave this morning with burdens. Come leave them with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know, I'm going to heaven. Get it settled. Get security of heaven. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts today? Without you, there is no safety. Safety is of the Lord. Give us safety of heaven, safety of home, and safety of heart. Lord, would you bless us today? Lord, would you speak to every heart that's here this morning? Lord, give people the freedom and the encouragement, Lord, just to come to this altar and talk to you because you love them. You'll save them. You'll bless their home. You'll bless their heart. Lord, speak to them. In your name I pray. Amen.